And okay, forget Conor McGregor, forget Frampton and Big Frank Bruno. It's time for the only fight worth tuning into today. This is Traditional Food Month on Foyle. Time for the Great Radio Foyle Traditional Chip-Off. In the blue corner, from Mayville, County Donegal, the young pretender Brian the Bruiser McDermott believes his skinny modern chip, fresh fried in local rapeseed oil, will guarantee him a historic win. In the red corner, Michael Chip-Off the Old Block Fiorentini has history, pedigree and maybe two stone on his side. Fight fans, let battle commence.
Well, goodness me, what a beautiful early summer's day here on the Strand Road. It's busy, blue sky, great to see it. And a day for a chip, if ever there was one. People coming and going and doing their business, but my eye is on a certain traditional fish and chip restaurant just across the street here, because it's there I hope to find my little friend from Donegal, who has decided to put his wits and chip making skills against one of the very finest in the land. So let's see if I can find these two chaps setting up for the Great Radio Foyle Chip Off. Well, here we go. I'm treading on what for many people in this part of the world is hallowed ground. I'm in behind the counter in the blue corner, young Michael Fiorentini preparing the boiling fats for a day's business.
Like young there, Mark.
Indeed, in the blue corner, Chancellor extraordinaire, Mobile native, and of course our resident chef, Brad McDermott.
Mark, I am so nervous. I swear to God, 25 years cooking. I'm about to take on this man. This is nerve-wracking.
Brian, could I paint the picture? Michael has a fryer and then a beautiful dais preparation done, then another fryer, then more potatoes in the preparation deck, and then another fryer. A whole team of staff, Mrs. Fiorentini there getting busy, and the girls getting set up for a day's business. You're here with something that looks like it came out of my kitchen, a wee 1 foot. It's not even a foot square.
It literally is a small deep fat fryer. Michael's got about 14 feet of specialist equipment that produces what he's done for years. So that's why I'm scared.
Yeah. Look, Michael, do you know what? We're making a serious point in a way about traditional foods, because it's sometimes when you're eating a bowl of stew, it's sometimes when it is a traditional fish and chip, that there's something special can happen. I'm sure you could count the stories, what, 25 years, you and your father and the whole family here. Yeah. It can be a very special thing.
Oh, it can be a very special thing, all right. We would have families, regular families, come in every Friday. It's a tradition. Whether it be fish and chips or just plate of chips and an egg or whatever. But the smell of salt and vinegar when they buy a bag of chips, taking it for a walk down the back of the quay, things that gather great memories for them. And yeah, the things that come back to them later on and goes from generation to generation.
I mean, the fat is bubbling, Michael. It's a 2 foot square big boiling vat, basically. 10 o'clock in the morning. Is this the usual drill?
This is the usual drill. We prepare well in advance before for the lunchtime rush. So I will continue cooking right up. I'll get my fish in already around 11 o'clock to half 11, sausages and all that. So we're geared in for 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock rush. 1 o'clock be the main lunch. Yeah.
Would it be fair to say your chip would be seen in Derry, Londonderry, as the chunkier of the fish and chip options? Yours are half potatoes,
they're
for goodness sake.
So they're all hand-cut chips, which will help in the cooking in that there'll be less fat absorbed in the actual chip, which is actually healthier for you from that point of view. So, and it also is more filling. Mm. It'll take less to fill you, so it's a proper meal in itself. Mm. You take that along with a salad or a bit of fish, and it's quite a healthy meal overall.
Bram, what do you think about that? Because, I mean, the tide arguably is going against a lot of the principles of this environment. Your fat is just heating up behind us. There's not a bubble in it, for goodness sake. There's more life in my bath when I get out of it at night. But, you know, it's potatoes, it's boiling fat, and our doctors aren't going to be saying that's what we should be eating first thing in the morning every day.
No, and I don't think we're going to be eating it every day. You know, it is something that's seen as a treat. And I like Michael's point about, you know, This literally is half a potato. I've just come straight from the college, and if I saw students preparing that for chips, I'd be going, my God, you need to quarter that yet, because it literally is half a potato. And it's interesting to say that he said it doesn't absorb in all of the fat, which makes it technically healthier. So that's, you know, there's a quality that's come across to me as a learning curve here this morning already.
Let's compare notes, fellas. I will not give away too much of the Fiorentini's secrets. I mean, the ice cream is reachable from here. I'm so tempted to go to the other end of the restaurant. Bran. Chips and the chemistry of chips and the professional thinking on chips and the, you know, what's going on with chips?
Yeah, well, for me, what's going on with chips, you know, when you're taught how to make chips, first and foremost, a choice potato, very, very important, because what you want is some brine in effect, and not all potatoes will brine. I'm not sure what Michael uses. You know, there's certain brands that you can use that will brine off the chip. I was taught the kind of double fry way, which is to blanch. Blanch basically is to par cook. You can do that either in water to be quite healthy or in oil. I've done it in oil, but interestingly, I'm sneaking in a local rapeseed oil. That's why you're not seeing bubble going on in this. So,
right.
Again, I'm not sure what Michael's using in terms of his cooking liquid.
Do you want to give any secrets away?
Well, it would be more of the beef.
Rubbing. Beef fat?
Yeah. So that gives that extra flavour to it. I do the same at blanch as well.
Which so you half cook them, Michael, let them cool.
Half cook, let them cool.
Right.
Just gives that crisp end when you redo them again. You can cook them straight out as well, but if you're very, very busy and it's really flat the mat, that's sometimes obviously what you have to do. From a practical point of view, when you are very busy, it'd be probably the worst thing to try and do is just cook them all straight off, because you just would never keep up to it. So you really have to get ahead of yourself and get prepared, you know.
Any particular type of potato, Michael, or just what you can get?
Usually a Morris Piper. Marsh paper.
Why is that?
It's a good chip potato. It lends itself very well to fat, you know.
Mm. Bran, what type?
Yeah, the Morris Piper, because they're sweeter as well, so they turn into a browner colour when they hit the fat and gives you a great colour at the end of the product. Okay, Mark, welcome to my 12-inch space for the chip challenge. Here I am with the domestic fryer. I've heated it up in temperature, so I've blanched it about 170 degrees, which is lower. I've basically, as they say in Derry, whacked it up to 190, and that's just to finish off the cooking. So the blanching has taken place. That's about 4 or 5 minutes in there. Cool them off, and now I should start to hear a little bit of life when I drop this basket of chips.
But not as much action as Michael's.
No, Michael's is on fire behind. That's what I'm worried about. It's bubbling and I can see the temperature coming out. And he's smiling. That really worries me.
No.
So I'm going to leave those just to cook up. And that old traditional thing of shaking.
Why do you do that?
Shaking the basket, it releases the chips so they're not sticking together to get the oil right around every element of the chip.
Mm.
So in the restaurant days, you couldn't not have chips on the menu. It was as simple as that. I mean, I remember famously Gordon Ramsay telling somebody to get out because they asked for chips, you know, years ago. Imagine a restaurant in Derry without serving chips. It just can't happen.
Yeah. Michael, over to you. What's the plan of attack here?
The plan of attack here is, again, like Brian, I cook it at a slightly lower temperature for blanching. Again, around 170.
So the raw potato here?
The raw potato. Yeah. So it goes on. Usually just do a test with the one chip. You see
they're
starting to bubble.
It's like lava in there. That moves like a sea of bubbling oil. It's like a stormy day at Malin. You know that you get the white bubbles in the salt water. Like that.
So I generally cook them around 180.
Listen, just when before we serve up here, Michael, I mean, how many times do we come in here in generations and see your father? And he hasn't been the best this last while. I mean, how's Sonny?
He's doing okay. He's doing okay. Yeah. He's still on crutches, unfortunately, but he's still out there and still doing his walks and stuff and able to drive, so he's doing okay.
One of the great characters of the town, there's no doubt about that.
He's had it for a long, long time.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. McDermott, time to plate up.
Okay, we're about to just lift the basket, so it's like taking it out of the bath now of oil. So as it comes up, you can see I've got loads of good colour that's on mine.
I think
it's very important now to actually let them sit and let them settle, because that high a temperature will absolutely roast anybody. It's about to taste them. So I'm going to let those sit and rest and relax for about 30 seconds or so before I serve them up.
Okay. Well, let's put that to the test. I'll let the fellas serve up here and we'll see if we can find a few guinea pigs to have the final word on the Great Radio Foil traditional chip-off. Well, here we go, folks. Two lovely plates of chips. I can tell the difference immediately. And Cathy Fiorentini. Cathy, you can spot his chips a million miles away, can't you?
Hope so, anyways.
Do you eat chips?
Well, occasionally, but not all the time, no.
Well, Cathy, it's over to you. I humbly present the blue plate on the little kiddies' plate, and they are slightly thinner, waterier-looking chips.
That's so unfair.
Well, I'm not saying anything about them, Cathy.
No. Definitely not. Not my husband's chips.
A slightly chunkier chip. We don't know where the chunkier chip comes from, but it's a more fulsome-looking chip.
They would be my chip.
They might have been. Michael, they might have been. We're not giving that away just yet, Cathy.
For the flavour. Gorgeous.
Well, there you are.
Yum.
You see, there's no bias at all in the situation, the brand. But I think it's fair to say that your slate was wiped today.
I am sinking under the table here with deflation. Absolutely. And I mean, yes, Cathy, you're spot on. You know your husband's chips, and they're absolutely beautiful.
It is a good chip. Yeah. I have to say, it's a good chip. But it's what you said as well. It's almost as there's meat in the chip because it's fluffy, and it's because it's so thick.
Yeah.
Is that just the way it's always going to be in here?
That's the way it's always going to be. The hand-cut chip is by far the better chip, I think, you know. But having said that, Brian's chip tastes slightly different than the chip that I've used to tasting with the rapeseed oil. Is different, all right.
Yeah.
I've actually never tasted with rapeseed oil before, and it is something that, you know, you look at and you think, it's not bad. Nice.
They are. Chef Brian McDermott, I declare you vanquished.
Beaten, if you could see the look on my face right now. I am gutted.
Tonight, Chef Brian, you will sleep with the fish suppers.